Hello, and welcome to A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And this podcast is airing on Monday, March 15th. We're excited to be here once again.
We're always excited to be here.
We're always excited to be here. We have...
But it's extra special today.
Extra special because we get to share our new fabric. If you follow us on any social media, you've probably already seen it here and there because I feel like it's everywhere now.
Yeah, reps are out, right. Showing it to shop owners. And we've obviously been posting about it on social media. And
But if you're not familiar with it yet, we will talk about it a little bit. Before we get started, we just wanted to mention that in our last episode, we mentioned a live stream, and we will be announcing the date for that on our next podcast on the 29th of March. So we'll have all the live stream details figured out by then.
Yes.
So,
yes.
We were thinking about doing it before that, but we got to push it back just a little further. So, that we have everything good to go, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We want to make it good. We don't want to like do it halfway.
Right.
Yeah. So definitely. Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that, but we will get started. We have our new Sincerely Yours collection here on the table. We have a fat quarter bundle, a jelly roll, a honey bun, and we have our cap sets. And these are the products that the sales reps take to shop owners when they go to show them the collection and see if they want to get it for their shop.
Yeah. And that way they can kind of see, you know, the prints up close and together and see how they all work together. So this is actually something fun for the listeners who often ask about the design process. This is that next step where the reps will go out and share these fabrics with shop owners. So it's really fun and exciting for us. And we are so excited about this new collection. We have been saying for a while that it was something totally new, you know, different from what we've done before.
Right.
And hopefully you guys feel the same because we're really excited about it.
Yeah. And we actually have a question that we're going to talk about later in this episode where Chelsea and I will get more into that.
Yes.
So, but one thing I did want to say was because of COVID, we actually had a Zoom sales meeting earlier this week where we were able to present stuff to all the sales reps and also to see the other Moda designers with new collections sharing theirs. And it was so much fun.
It was really fun.
Right. I miss it. At Moda, I feel like we usually only do that when you're a brand new designer.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of taking us back to the first time we got to meet with the reps. And
yeah.
And we got to do that through Zoom, and it was a lot of fun. So,
which is actually so interesting you say that, because the very first time we did that with our first collection, I wasn't designing quilt patterns. And
that's
so
right.
This was kind of my first time, and I was really, really nervous at the start. And I actually felt it was fun. It was really nice, like you said, to see other designers and their collections and to share ours. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We'll
come back to this. We're talking about the collection on all our social media right now. We both have new patterns. And let's just get started with some listener questions. I did want to say also we had a shout out for questions and we got so many.
Yes.
We are so appreciative.
Yeah.
So
I do want to talk about the quilt.
Oh, that's
though.
Right. We can't forget the quilt.
Just really quick. So the quilt on the wall you may recognize. So the reason I brought these two quilts is because they both have hearts in them. And since we're sharing a little bit about Sincerely Yours, I thought I'll bring a couple quilts that you may have seen before that have hearts in them. So this is Hearts at Home too. And actually the reason I brought this also is I have been getting so many emails about the differences between Hearts at Home and Hearts at Home 2. And Hearts at Home 2 on the wall here is a honey bun quilt. So this is a honey bun. And if you're just listening, it's 1.5-inch strips. And that's what I use to make this quilt and some yardage. So that one's a lot of fun. And then the quilt on the table is called Community, and it's just these really cute house blocks with hearts in the window. So Billy will put some pictures up of these, and yeah. So, oh, and also Community is fat quarter friendly. So there's that too. But
yeah. Awesome. Okay. I'm sorry. I skipped right past the quilt on the wall and the quilt. That's like something we do every week. So
we've actually, it's fine. Awesome. All is forgiven, Mom.
Okay.
just a question for those who are just listening. Now, you already have a blog post up with pictures of all your new fabric that people can go to that I can put in.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
We'll put a link to that post. And actually, it's probably more than one post by the time this airs. So, and patterns, everything. We'll put all those links in the show notes. Okay.
Also, I love that you're wearing a shade of purple today.
Oh,
because of you know,
I wanted to match the orchid color.
You're matching. I'm so proud of you. So.
Okay. Well, we have some great questions. We will start with number one. I thought this was really fun. I love that we have so many new quilters that listen to the podcast.
Yes,
and that are beginning this journey of quilting and being able to learn. And I just love the variety and the freshness that beginner questions actually let us talk about. So the first one said, could you and Chelsea give a description of exactly what a scrap quilt is?
I love this question.
And this is actually kind of a deep question, don't you think?
I truly think it is. Yeah. When I saw it, I actually... I wondered if we would be talking about this one.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like there's kind of a few different, like, there's kind of a, like one, a scrap quilt is just not, there's not like one definition for it. And when I saw this question, that's exactly what I thought. Like, for example, I had a bunch of the Essentially Yours Basics from Moda. Moda had this line called Essentially Yours Basics. And I ended up mixing all of those together to make a scrap quilt out of them. And it's one of my favorite quilts. And the reason it works so great with for a scrap quilt is they put basics that work with a lot of lines together into one group. And so because there's so many differences with those fabrics, it makes for a great scrap quilt, actually, when you start putting all the pieces randomly together. And that's how I laid it out. I didn't even have a plan. I just started throwing fabrics together from that group. But then also, I love a good scrap quilt with all of our previous fabric collections. And those have various different designs, prints, colors, scale. And to me, that's what it is. That's diving into your stash and, you know, just making it work and throwing a bunch of different things together. So,
Yeah. I feel like there are lots of different definitions of a scrap quilt, and the phrase scrap quilt can mean many different things to many different quilters. And, you know, we think of our grandmothers using leftovers from dresses or aprons. Those were fabric scraps that they then used to make a quilt. Today, I think sometimes we more carefully curate the scraps in our quilts.
Yes, and I think that's where I
even go so far as to take pictures of fabric pulls to make sure we like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
So, and I also feel like these bundles created charm packs, jelly rolls, bundles, they're kind of, they give a scrappy feel because they have multiple colors and multiple prints. And yet, while it's cohesive, to me, it kind of has a throwback to the scrap quilts of yesteryears, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. So. Yeah. I loved that question just because there's not just one way to do it. Like you said, like literal scraps from any project, you know, were put together to create a quilt, which is awesome.
Yeah. So really, really good question. You can really think about that. Probably each of us can think, what does a scrap quilt mean to me?
Yeah.
And I feel like a scrap quilt can be made with all solids if they're all very different and have a big variety. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And speaking of scrap quilts and projects, Lisa Alexander's new book that you are also in is a great example of scrap quilts.
Right. Scrap School.
Yeah. Scrap School is what it's called. And it's the second book. She had a first one. But yeah, that's also a great example. I loved flipping through that and seeing kind of how everyone's ideas came together for different scrap quilts. It was very cool.
Yeah. No, and I feel like, a lot of people make scrap quilts with shirts, t-shirt. I feel like a t-shirt quilt is even a scrap quilt because it's taking a variety of different t-shirts and putting them together in a quilt.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
And one more thing, even this is another idea from Lisa Alexander, how you had told me she takes her mini charms and sorts them by color.
Right.
And that's like my next goal. I have all my minis in a bucket and I want to do that someday, put them by color and make a scrap quilt. I think it would be so cool to mix various designers and fabric lines together using those.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one is interesting as well.
Oh, and I feel like this is... Yes. That's a great question.
Yeah, great question. What technique should a beginning quilter master before moving from beginner quilt patterns to advanced beginner quilt patterns and then onto intermediate patterns? What distinguishes the various levels?
I loved this question because I have been here before. Uh-huh. I mean, I feel like in some areas I'm still there, you know. There's some techniques I'm still wanting to tackle this year.
Right.
But I loved that this question was asked because I feel like when you first start quilting, it's daunting.
Right.
Because you're like, okay, well, what technique am I going to be using in this quilt? And I think at first when I started the very first quilt, I started with, had like Ohio stars and I was so frustrated even by like the trimming and all that. But I definitely feel like you've got to start just at the beginning. Straight lines, you know, anything like simple, and then just simple techniques like half square I mean, each quilt pattern is so different and uses different techniques, but it's just what you're comfortable with, I feel like. So I don't know if that was okay advice.
No, I think that's great. And I always feel like simple squares and rectangles are perfect for beginner quilts. The first thing you have to master is your quarter inch seam allowance, because basically all the patterns hinge on an accurate seam allowance. So I feel like once you've made a couple simple quilts and you've got that seam allowance done, you move from beginner to advanced beginner.
Yes.
So,
And then, I'm glad you brought that up because, it does. So, you can't really, you have to start there.
You have to,
A good patchwork quilt, guys, is good for tedious, you know, just... You know, sewing that you can just
get 9 the feel patches, of that.
Yes.
16 patches. Those are great beginner type projects.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, learning half square triangles, that's probably the easiest multi-step technique. Yeah. And you know, then you can move on to flying geese and quarter square triangles and more. So as far as when you move from advanced beginner to intermediate, I feel like an intermediate quilter has mastered flying geese, quarter square triangles.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess advanced, I would say if you can do curves and very accurate piecing in small sizes, then maybe that would, I don't know.
I'm thinking it's of Lisa Bonjean right now, like, her small piecing.
Oh, yes. So That's kind of like the differentiations I would make.
Yeah. So. I also feel like there's so many other things that go into, like you said about the quarter inch seam. Like I have said this time and time again, good pressing is so important too. Like there's all these other things that come together to make it like good piecing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like those things just come with practice though. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, and sometimes I like it when somebody will email me and say, I'm a brand new beginner quilter. I saw this pattern in your shop. Is this a good one to begin with? And I can kind of, you know, guide them. But that being said, I once had a very, very beginner take my Mahalo class, which is a, I would consider it more of an advanced quilt. And she did great. She really? Had never made a quilt before.
Oh my goodness, what?
Yeah, in fact, it was Cindy Cloward's daughter-in-law, Cindy Cloward yes. of Riley Blake. So it was her daughter-in-law and she was making it as a baby quilt and she had never quilted. And she took my class and she did a great job. So, you know, if you have someone, and I know after the class, I know Cindy helped her at home, you know, to keep. So if you have someone beside you, you can do something maybe that's above your level.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay. Number three says, I would like to have my quilts quilted by a professional for sure, but I'm concerned about the cost. And this just really speaks to me because that was a big roadblock when I first started quilting was and of course now it's even more expensive than it was then, but, yeah, I feel like I hand quilted a lot of small projects just because it was cheaper than having someone quilt them. But that also you can shop around. Sometimes quilters have sales. Save up your quilts and maybe during their slow time they'll have a sale.
Yeah.
But what do you think about? Any thoughts on that?
I was going to say that or also I just recently found someone where we live who has just started quilting professionally, and she does a really great job. And she's brand new, and she's just starting out, and so she's a little bit cheaper. And but because she has posted pictures of her work, I feel like I'm glad that she gave an example of her work, you know, so people can see.
Right.
And so you know, but I think the sale is a big one. A lot of people. We'll do sales. And I think if you watch for that on social media, it's almost worth it to ship it, even if they're farther away. Right. So,
and a lot of quilt shops now offer long arming services and sometimes they will have coupons if you get on their newsletter. Yeah. Or I know when I was first quilting, there was a store in St. George and I would just wait for their newsletters to get a coupon to take a quilt up there, 20% off or whatever.
It can be expensive though. And so I do get that question from friends locally that will ask me, you know, like, do I just, and some of them do choose to either, you know, hand quilt it or they will just do it themselves. And that's fine too. I love when things are just, you know, done by a long armor, you know, I think it's beautiful. And to me, it's always worth what I pay. So, yeah, but I know that costs can be kind of up there sometimes. So watch for sales and coupons.
Right. And I feel like, too, that's why a lot of patterns are for smaller quilts and not for bed-sized quilts. Because you can make a cute quilt and use it as an accent in your bedroom, and yet you're not paying for the full size of a queen or a king to be quilted. Yeah.
One thing I will say, though, is getting it, you know, professionally long-armed. This quilt is going to last you a very long time. If I'm thinking of my son, though, if it's not like a quilt that is dragged around on the floor and used for forts, but so it's definitely worth it, I think.
Right.
But
So just shop around and ask friends, other quilters. Ooh,
one thing I was going to say too is if you join a quilt along, a lot of times a quilter will team up with someone doing a quilt along with a discount. So if it's a quilt pattern you really love that's become a quilt along, that's another great way to find a quilter who's going to offer an awesome discount.
That's a good idea. A good point. Yeah.
Okay. So next question. You guys mentioned that the next line is a departure from your style. What inspired the change? So now we're going to get back to Sincerely Yours a little bit. And I think we both can agree. It felt nice to have a little bit of a change. I think we were ready for that. I think we were ready to kind of go a little bit outside of the box, something that we haven't normally done. And we talk a lot about traditional and modern quilts and how my home is a little bit more modern and mom's is a little more traditional. This is something I feel we both really wanted to do. And we both love both. Like, we love traditional and modern. We both quilt with both. And so this does have a fun story. I had told mom about this idea I'd had. And
Don't you think it started with the colors?
It started with the colors. Right. 100%. I had made quilts before using a lot of modern, you know, just, well, not even just modern, but just lots of pinks and reds and purples. And I had told her, I want to do a fabric line like this one day. And it started with the color, which is great, because once you have your palette picked out, the designs just, and you'll notice we have a few designs from Desert Bloom or a couple designs from Summer Sweet that we kind of put in this to mix it up. And after that, it just, I think I designed this in like a few days. Like,
yeah,
I was really excited about it. And Mom was on a trip in Oregon.
Right.
And
before the last time I flew before the shutdown.
Before the shutdown. And Mom was like, you've got to turn this in. I love it. I know you love it. And
we had already decided on all the colors and some of the designs. And I was at that retreat and you texted me the picture and I was like, oh, go. Yes, we have to do this. This is,
and we really came did. Together. We had this in so early, like a year early. And yeah, we're really excited about it. I feel like just as a creative person, it is healthy to switch it up. I will say that.
Yeah.
So that has been fun for me, is doing something different, which sometimes can be really nerve wracking because part of me was like, oh, this isn't what I'm comfortable with. Cause I don't design with these colors all the time.
Right.
But it's good to go outside of the box. And it's still what I love about it. It's still signature Sherry and Chelsea.
Yeah.
The design,
your florals and everything, like your hand drawn.
Yeah.
Still really.
And Mom really wanted this large dot in it. If you're watching the YouTube or if you've seen a picture, she was like, I love a large dot. And actually for years, she's been saying that.
I have.
And we fit it in and it's a really fun print. And so. Yeah,
and I love these hearts. These kind of medium sized.
Yeah.
But this is the thing too. This is a really versatile collection. I actually... You know, it's great for baby quilts,
yes.
The pinks and the soft florals. You can do Christmas with the reds. Mm-hmm. You can do Valentine's. You can just do bright and modern.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many ways to...
Two-tone quilts. You can choose one color and do it with the softer colors.
Right. And in fact, I had a friend over the other day taking some pictures. And we came up with some palettes that I hadn't even thought of when we were doing the photos. And if I have those photos back in time when Billy edits this video, I'll put one up that will really surprise you. We put some yellow with some of these prints.
What?
And
I'm so excited.
Amazing. I can't wait to show you that photo when she gets them edited. Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, and I'll just wait and surprise you. But hopefully
I'm very excited. I did not know this.
Yeah, she just went over to my thread rack and started pulling color spools off and she grabbed a yellow and I was like,
oh, what is she doing?
What is she doing? And then anyway, it's a really cute picture.
Oh, cool. So, oh my goodness, I'm excited.
So, but yeah, I think that's
and I think there will be a lot of pictures on this video because which is fine. I mean, because I'm not sure how well everyone can see those details.
Yeah.
So
right.
I'll try my best picture? To get as many up
okay
so that
they
can see what you guys are talking about.
But right.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
That's okay.
Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, this has just been a really fun group to sew with. So
we're really excited about it. It was really fun for both of us, I think, while designing quilts too.
Right.
So
to be able to do something a little bit out of the box.
Yeah, so. It felt good. It felt really good to to design this. So yeah, definitely a departure from our regular style, I would say.
But it still has some signature trademarks.
Yes. So, yeah. And it is versatile. It's not just Valentine's. I mean, it really has that modern kind of feel with traditional prints and mixed in. So
yeah,
it's been so much fun. I could talk about it all day. So I'll probably just move on right now. You could probably tell we're really excited about it, but...
The next one, this actually kind of moves right into the next one.
Yeah. I guess.
How do you come up with the names for your collections? What are the inspirations? You both speak of your collections as if they are your children. Sometimes it does feel that way. And I understand the love you put into developing them. And I'm sure the same care is can be put into the naming. Thank you. So whoever that's such a good question.
Wrote the like submitted this question.
Yeah.
As if quote, as if they are your children. That is the most true thing I have heard. And so it really is. It's like, oh my goodness. That's perfect to describe it. Cause that's how it feels. We work with it so much and for so long prior to when it releases.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's like, we finally get to share this new child of our that we've created.
Okay, but let me clarify. You're not like, you know, these are not your children that you no, you don't no, no. love fabric no, more no. than your own
no,
blood. We love our okay, children. Just no. making sure, Chelsea.
No. I thought that.
All right, because like, you really put it up there.
I always have Billy to keep me in line here. That's really great. not as important as my children, but there's a lot that goes into creating a fabric line. Something that Vanessa Gertzen noted while she was here. It's hard work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work to do this. Designing and going over color palettes and mom and I sitting down and really going over things and then sitting down and making sure the colors are correct when the strike-offs come and then picking the prints and looking at each other like, you better not take that one out. And then the other person's like, you better keep that one in. Like, yeah. it's just a lot. So
yeah. But yeah, a lot of our collections are named after places.
Places we've been, spent time with as a family.
Places that inspire us.
Yeah. I think when designing this one, it really just came, a lot of them come really naturally. I'm really silly sometimes. And so I'll always end my emails with XOXO, sincerely yours.
And I can't remember, did you think of the name of this one? I can't remember. Some of them I know exactly who thought of the name.
I think I did.
Because I know I thought of...
Yes, I did.
Did you do... Okay, you because did this one.
I hadn't had the cover for the PDF done yet.
Right.
And I sent it to you and you were like, it's perfect. Like, right. I love this. But no, mom actually comes up with a lot of the names of the fabric lines, actually.
I know the collection before this, the two before it I did and the one after it I did.
Yep, the one that we'll be sharing in the fall.
Yes.
Mom... I'm excited about that one too.
It's, yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, a lot of places. We do have one collection named after one of Chelsea's children.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And so. Yeah, no, they're all sentimental to us, obviously. Yes. So just comes kind of naturally.
Yeah. So great question.
Yeah. Oh, I love this next question. Oh, okay.
Before I go on that question, somebody else, I can't remember if it was the same questioner or somebody else asked about names and they specifically wanted to know about Balboa and Balboa Island in Southern California provided the inspiration for that name.
Yeah. We vacationed there every year for like 4 years for a whole week and we would go to Balboa Island and shop and it was a lot of fun.
Mostly.
Balboa Pier, not island.
No, Balboa Island.
Balboa Island.
You mean Catalina Island?
You didn't go with us. It was the girls always went.
Yeah.
Balboa Island.
Yeah, it's called Balboa Island.
I thought you were talking about Catalina
Island. Yeah, it's kind of like...
We took a ferry one year.
Surrounded by... Yeah, we would go... all the girls would go.
And
okay. I might cut that out.
Yeah. You have to look that up.
Google it right now.
I will.
Okay.
This is my favorite question because I'm hungry right now.
I'm hungry right now too. I thought we were going to record after dinner and we ended up recording before dinner.
That was my fault. I was kind of a drama queen today and needed to do it before dinner.
No, that's okay. But this is such a good question because I am constantly telling people that I feel like meal planning is like the answer to life's questions.
It really is.
Like, and so she just simply asked, wondering how you plan meals for the day. And because I really do feel like you can save money on your budget if you meal plan.
This is so
And you can save time if you meal plan. And just all those decisions are already made. And
whenever I see questions like this, I'm like, talk to my mom about time management. Because but I'm curious to hear yours because meal planning is one of the biggest time savers. So basically what we do is... We restart it every week, but the dinner we make for Monday night, say we're starting a new week.
Okay.
That is then our lunch for the next day.
Right.
And so, and then you have everything prepped for dinner for Tuesday night. And so that way we always have food available in the fridge. And sometimes, you know, by the end of the week, you have enough leftovers for, you know, but that's kind of how we do it. And it works really, really well. So we aren't like scrounging for lunch or anything, but yeah, we meal plan for sure.
So you sit down formally and make it for just 1 week at a time or 2 weeks at a time, or?
We do 1 week at a time, actually. Okay. Sometimes it'll carry over into the next week, but I prefer, because we use a lot of like fresh, you know, produce or whatever. I prefer to do it weekly. So yeah, but things like frozen, like chicken, meat and stuff, we have that in advance. So yeah, this is turning into the food channel.
No, I feel like I used to meal plan when all of you were younger for 2 weeks at a time, because, you know, you get paid, you go to the grocery store, get most of what you need for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we do that.
But now with just two of us, I don't really do that. But I do it more on a weekly basis. And
yeah.
I try to look at what's in my freezer, what needs to be used. But I will kind of figure out the week. And with the pandemic, we did a lot of those meal kits.
And you guys, mom is subscribed to HelloFresh.
Home Chef.
Home Chef.
And Blue Apron.
And Blue Apron.
And so kind of like 1 or 2 weeks a month, I'll get one of those boxes. And it really changes it up and gets me out of my recipe rut. But one thing I do that's been really helpful is about once a month, I'll take 5 or 6 chicken breasts just out of the freezer, put them in my slow cooker with half a cup of chicken broth, and let them cook for 8 or 9 hours, and then I shred them, and then I freeze them in bags of 1 to 2 cups.
Yep.
And I have chicken for whatever.
For whatever recipe. Enchiladas. Right.
Tacos.
Yeah.
Nachos. I like to make chicken salad and a wrap for lunch. So I just... Yeah, I do that.
Come over to your house.
But
goodness, those are not the meals I make.
But no, and luckily, you know, I got my husband a smoker for Father's Day. And so he smokes a lot of meats, and then it's kind of, and he'll just randomly decide, oh, I'm going to do this. And so then I hurry up and I plan the meals around that and the leftovers.
He's very on a whim, like I am, like we have that in common.
So, but yeah, definitely we do plan meals. I usually don't plan anything for breakfast.
I don't either.
Yeah.
No, like.
I love breakfast, but I'll eat it for dinner when I want a big breakfast. I'll have breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, so. We used to do that all the time when I was younger.
Yeah,
yeah.
So okay, that was kind of a little.
You guys, we talk about all things on the podcast. I mean, come on.
Right.
Who doesn't love talking about food?
Right. Exactly. Especially on a day when we're taping and we haven't had dinner.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. How are we doing on time? We're good?
We can do a couple more questions? Yeah.
Okay. I have found that even though my fabric may read 100% cotton, not all cotton fabric is equal. How do I know I am getting good quality fabric?
This is a great question.
Yeah, really good question. Because you can buy 100% cotton fabric at Walmart or at Joann's, but you're right, they're not
equal. All the same quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you definitely have to go in and feel, you know, the difference.
Right.
You can feel it for sure.
Yes.
I totally can tell the difference with some fabrics. So,
yeah, I would suggest really go to a quilt shop or order some high quality quilting fabric online and really get used to the feel of it so that you know. And really, I always tell people, if you're going to spend all this time and money and energy to make a quilt, you want to use good quality materials.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I have heard stories of people who spent lots of time on a quilt and they washed it and the fabric just had holes in it within a year or so. And
fell apart.
Yeah, and they got their fabric at, you know, a discount chain store. So, yeah, think about the time that you're putting in.
Yeah.
So, and even though quilting cotton is expensive, the same thing that kind of we talked about with quilting, you can get discounts. I know shops that offer you 30% off on a certain day of the month if you buy a yard or more, or, you know, so I would always go to that shop to get my backings because I could get 30% off.
Yeah, for, such a good deal.
Right.
So, and you really, yeah, you just got to watch for them and, right. you know, snag it while you can, right. while they're offering it.
Right. It's possible to buy really everything you need for quilting on sale.
Yeah, because actually, yeah.
There is somebody having a sale all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Good question.
I really, actually, both of us really loved this.
Yes,
so I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
This isn't really a question, but I wondered if you'd want to discuss how comparison is the thief of joy. One of my favorite quotes, by the way. Recently, my sister-in-law was frustrated because she wants to learn how to quilt, but is intimidated by what she sees others doing. That breaks my heart. We should not try to keep up with someone else's pace or quality of work. Each of us just needs to be in the moment and enjoy the process. I feel like this question, this, well, response was meant for me today because, yeah, we'll just end there. I have this sign I bought that's in my home and it says, "Whatever, let whatever you do today be enough." And there's kind of a lot of this pressure when even I'll say the quilting, quilting specifically, because it could be, you can apply it everywhere. It's really easy to compare yourself to others. We're not all in the same place. We're all at different stages, and areas in our life. And it is very hard to get that out of your head sometimes. Well, it's not as good as so-and-so's, or I'm not as far ahead as so-and-so. Or my career isn't where so-and-so's is, you know? And I'm going to say from experience, it honestly takes practice to get into a mindset of not comparing yourself to others. Mm-hmm. And it can creep in on anyone. You really feel that pressure. But truly, I love what was said here. We just need to be in the moment and enjoy the process. And yeah, I'm in my mom is great. She's great, a great supporter of mine. And oftentimes, not in a bad way, I'll be like, wow, like mom gets, you know, all this other stuff, like all this stuff done. And am I making excuses for myself or am I just busy? And we're just at different stages in life. But one of my favorite things is like, I have the support here. Somebody cheering me on, which is helpful. And it sounds like this person here has someone cheering them on, which I love. That's right. Really important. So right. Sorry, and I just talked forever.
No, that was what was so much fun about this question is that, you know, her heart is broken for her sister-in-law. So, you know, she's looking out for her. So, you know that,
yes.
that she does have a support team. And
yeah.
So this question made me think about a quilt that I need to hang it up in our new house, but I had it hanging up in our last house and it was kind of a newer, one of the quilts that I did when I was a newer quilter. And so it had a lot of mistakes on it and wasn't perfect. But I used to walk by that quilt all the time and it would just remind me of the journey. And sometimes yeah. I would look at it and say, wow, that block looks terrible. How did I? But then I thought, wow, now I can do better. And that just, it would make me feel happy
yeah.
to see that earlier part of my quilting journey when my seams didn't always match up. And not that they all do now either, but and when corners were cut off. And,
yeah.
you know, we just have to realize that it is a journey and we should love it. And I've actually seen, I got on our Facebook page today to post the block of the month.
Yes, yeah.
And I noticed the February block was kind of difficult and some people they posted pictures and they knew that their photo maybe wasn't picture perfect, but they had so much, they said, I learned a lot this month. And I thought, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So yeah, you need to just realize some quilts are going to be harder and you're just going to learn something from them. So.
Yeah. I also just want to note off of something that you said. I also sometimes when I'm in a rut, like today was actually kind of a hard day for me. Uh-huh. I love that you said that mindset. Like I can choose to have a positive attitude about my situation or, you know, things that I have going on in my life. And that it's important to stay positive and, you know, have a good mental, you know, attitude about things. So I think that's really important too. And also, sometimes what you see on social media, and actually most times, you guys,
right?
When I take a picture for social media, off to the side is a sewing room that has threads and things strewn all across the floor. Sometimes what you see on someone's social media isn't a representation of exactly them or their life.
Right.
It's not always cakes and pies and perfect and, you know, all that stuff. So that's important to know too. It's really easy to get in your head about things.
Right.
I could talk about this all day.
Yeah, I could too. I'm such a believer in, this is something I heard on a podcast somewhere. I wish I could remember where, but they said, don't look sideways.
Yes.
Don't look sideways. Yes. Just keep looking ahead.
I needed this today.
So
I was looking sideways today.
Yeah.
Can I pipe in just a little bit too? Yes. I'm not a quilter. I've said that several times on here, but just because I know, I would imagine that the majority of people that quilt, because it's a hobby, it's a leisure activity for most people, for thousands and thousands of people, are doing it for just that, just for a hobby.
Right.
So, you know, watching your podcast or YouTube channel, or there's other quilting YouTube channels out there, obviously, and you guys take it at more of a, it's your hobby, but it's also turned into a business pursuit for you guys as well.
Right.
Like a professional pursuit. So I'm not saying that everyone's comparing themselves to people that sell patterns and all that, but, you know, in case you do, like, don't, it's a hobby. It's for you. It's for you to have fun with and grow and get better for yourself, not compared to anyone else. I mean, I'm not a quilter, but I have hobbies, and one of mine is golf, and I don't do it for money. Some people do, but I spend money just to do it for fun.
Right.
If I compared myself to a professional golf player or even friends of mine who are much better than me, then it's terrible.
Yeah. Like,
I only have to compare myself to me.
Right.
That's it. Or else I'm not going to have a good time. I'm going to be frustrated because I have friends who are a lot better at golf than me, and I play with them. And if I'm out there and trying to compare myself to them, which I do sometimes naturally, I don't do very well, and I don't have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was thinking of my hobbies and things that I do for fun, because I think that hopefully not a lot of people just look at people that do it for a business or a career and try to compare themselves to that. Like, especially if you're just barely learning something brand new, like, you know, enjoy it.
Right.
Enjoy the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, that's so true. You can probably make the comparison to anything that you do.
For sure. It applies everywhere.
Yeah.
Deep Thoughts by Billy.
Great. This was such a great topic to discuss.
Yeah, I love that.
And if anyone wants me to, like, make a quilting video to compare themselves to, then that would make you feel better automatically.
That's our next
project. Maybe I can do that sometime.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Billy learns to quilt.
I feel like you have learned a lot, Billy, though, from filming all these videos. You know lots of terminology.
I know the terms. Yeah. I haven't actually got hands-on yet, though.
Right.
I think that was a great question to end on, actually.
I think so too.
So we'll roll the next few questions over onto next time.
Right.
And you guys have a huge bank now after.
I know.
We do. We have.
So
saw the list.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Anybody that put a question out, we got them. We'll store more.
Right. Because I think there were 45 and we just did 8 today. So
yeah. There were so many.
Yeah. That was super fun.
Yeah.
One thing I meant to mention this in the beginning of the episode, but it is March, and this is National Quilting March. And this Saturday, March 20th, is National Quilting Day. So make a plan to quilt on Saturday, March 20th.
Quilt along with us, you guys.
Yeah, I think there probably, I haven't seen any yet, but I'm sure there are going to be some quilt alongs.
For sure. Yeah.
Social media events. So just make a plan to quilt on Saturday.
Yay!
So, yeah. And our next episode will air on Monday, March 29th.
Yeah.
We'll give you all the details about the live stream
on that day.
Yeah.
You guys want just a couple podcast reviews?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's have just a couple. Them. Yeah.
Okay. Trying to keep up with them so we can not fall behind on those too. But okay. So starting in February. So stuff from Steph. She says,
I know her.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I really enjoy listening to the two of you every couple of weeks. Just wanted you to know that I noticed the cute music you started playing at the end of the podcast. Well done. Okay. So she heard the theme. I've been putting the theme music in there at the end.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you, Steph. Oh, she's so sweet.
I actually have a chicken barbecue salad recipe that I make that's hers that she posted on her Instagram one time, and I make it all the time.
Oh, I might need that. She's so talented.
So, yeah.
All right. So one more. Lauren Sows, I discovered your podcast by accident. So I wonder how that happened, but that's cool. I love listening to you both. Billy does a great job as well. Thank you. Keep making episodes. Your podcast is a bright spot for so many of us who are at home sewing more than ever.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I love that it was like a happy accident.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
I love
listening to the reviews.
Yeah.
Because I often wonder, what are people thinking while they're listening to us or watching us? Yeah. I'm like, oh.
No. Thank you, Billy, for reading those.
So. Yes. Thank you, Billy.
Okay. So I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for stopping by.